welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a bit snarky about all things books. If you like the show, I'd really love your support. Spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts, or get bonus podcast episodes by supporting the podcast on Patreon. There's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Let's get rolling. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. Before we get to today's guest, I wanted to share a couple things I have going on for patrons. Our guest today is from Libro FM, which is an audiobook listening platform that enables you to support independent bookstores with your audiobook purchases. And Libro FM kindly gave every one of my patrons a free audiobook credit to use during the month of November. And they are offering a free audiobook credit to any new patrons that sign up during the month of November. So if you've been considering becoming a patron of the podcast, now is a good time to join. I'll email anyone who signs up a custom link to redeem your free audiobook. The other reason it's a good time to join right now is because we have a couple really fun things happening for end of the year. And this is outside of our normal routine about what occurs for patrons, which I'll get to in a moment. But the fun things we have going on for the end of the year are, number one, we are doing, for the first time ever, a Best Books of 2020 tournament bracket just for patrons. We just kicked this off. You can still vote in multiple rounds if you join right now. And this will culminate in a bonus podcast episode for patrons where we break down the winners, the losers, the surprise upsets, and who didn't even get nominated in the first place. Second, and we are bringing this back from last year, we are going to be doing a bonus episode breaking down the Goodreads Choice Awards. Carla from Happiest When Reading will be co-hosting this with me, just like we did last year. This gets real snarky, y'all, especially this year now that I've seen the nominations. And the third thing we have coming up for patrons is also new this year. There's going to be a bonus podcast episode to go along with the 2021 Reading Tracker, which will launch tomorrow, y'all. The 2020 Tracker is new and improved. Patrons will get a bonus episode where I cover how I use the tracker, my favorite parts of the tracker, things I don't use that are in the tracker, how to track your recommendation sources, which has been a big topic of discussion over in our patrons Facebook group, and I am answering questions that y'all submitted. For those of you who are not familiar with our Patreon community, I wanted to tell you about the two sort of big cornerstone parts of it that happen every single month, or benefits, if you will. You get two bonus podcast episodes a month. Number one is my book recommendations, and I do these in the same format as the big show. So every month I share two old books I love, two new books I love, one book I don't love, and one upcoming release I'm excited about. This is a place where I share books that I either am not planning to talk about on the blog or on Instagram really much at all, or books that I will be reviewing on the blog, but I won't be posting those reviews until months later. So you get my thoughts early, you get more detailed thoughts than you would get in a one little paragraph review. It's also a place where I circle back to you about books that I might have shared on one of the big show preview episodes that I hadn't read yet. And then as soon as I read them, I will circle back and put them on this book recommendations episode. It's also a place where I dig way into my backlist. I share backlist books that I've read in real time, but I also dig into my backlist and share books that I have not talked about on the blog for years, and sometimes I've never talked about on the blog. So the second bonus episode you get every month is the superlatives episode. And that is where each guest from the big show shares their picks for five bookish superlative categories that have been specially selected for them. And I also share my picks for those particular categories where it makes sense. I just wanted to update you all on the Patreon community. We've got some fun stuff going on over there. We also have a Facebook group. And if you would like to become a patron, you can join for $5 a month to get all of these bonus goodies plus more. There's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio. Let's get to our guest. My guest today is Claire Hanscom from Libro FM, which is the audiobook listening platform that allows you to support independent bookstores with your purchases. And I know, especially now, I am really trying to support independent bookstores with my purchases, and I know many of you are as well. Today, we're going to talk about Libro FM as a listening platform, how it supports indie bookstores, and then we'll talk about some audiobook listening trends and audiobook recommendations. And y'all, we have got tons of great audiobook recommendations coming for you in this episode. Claire is part of the marketing team at Libro. She works with influencers, creates content for Libro FM, and is one of the creative forces behind the blog, quizzes, and playlists that you see on their website. Claire is a British writer who moved to Washington, D.C. in 2012, ostensibly to study for an MFA in creative writing at American University. Her work has appeared in a wide variety of publications in four countries, including both of the UK's best-selling writing magazines, as well as the Washington Post. She is also a regular contributor to the largest independent book site in the U.S., Book Riot, and the host of the BritLit podcast, a bi-weekly show of news and views from British books and publishing. And actually, y'all, that podcast is monthly right now due to COVID obligations, much like my podcast is bi-weekly due to COVID obligations. And her debut novel, Unscripted, came out in 2019. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. I am so excited to talk about audiobooks. And since this episode is airing in November, which is Nonfiction November, that's a big thing over on Instagram, and I personally listen to nonfiction on audio, I am excited to talk about audiobooks right now.
Yeah.
So can you give us, for those listeners who are not already familiar with Libro FM, can you give us a little quick overview of what Libro FM is, sort of how it got started, and how it helps support indie bookstores?
Yeah, you said it pretty perfectly at the beginning. So we're a company that enables readers to buy audiobooks through their local bookstore. So rather than through a big and personal company, you can have recommendations from real booksellers. So our website has, you know, bookseller picks, playlists of audiobooks, recommendations for audiobooks that are all made by real people. And we profit share 50-50 with independent bookstores. And when you buy audiobooks from us, you choose which independent bookstore you want to support. So it's kind of another way to support your local bookstore and to build community with them.
I love in particular that you can choose the independent bookstore that you want to support. So you can choose your local bookstore, or if you don't have a local bookstore, one that you are, you know, like to visit in another town. Because I know with bookshop.org, which is a similar website for print books, you can't choose your bookstore. Your money goes into a pool, which is then shared among the participating independent bookstores. So I love that with Libro, you can choose the indie bookstore that you want to support.
Yeah, it's great. And it also means that when bookstores put out calls for help, as they have a little recently, bookstore like Romans in Pasadena, California, which was one of my favorite bookstores maybe in the world, recently put out a bit of a call for help. You can, if you want to, switch for a couple of months to them just to throw a few dollars their way. We also on the website have lists of, for example, Black-owned bookstores, Latinx-owned bookstores, and similar identity-based bookstores. So if you're wanting to support a certain community, you can do that as well. So there's really like no end to what you can do. And as I said, you can switch around if you need to as well.
I actually switched my Libro bookstore to Mahogany Books in Washington, D.C. a few months back to support a Black-owned bookstore.
Great.
So obviously Audible is a big competitor of Libro FM. Can you share sort of the biggest differences between the two? And beyond, obviously, we know the biggest difference is the profit sharing with indie bookstores. Audible does not do that.
Yes, that is the number one thing. And the thing that we're proudest of is our investment in bookstores and local communities, because bookstores are such an important part of their local communities. But also with Libro FM, your credits never expire. So back in the old days, pre-Libro, I was an Audible member. And I remember that constant race of having to quickly buy a book because otherwise your next credit dropped and then you lost one somehow. That doesn't happen with Libro FM. Your credits keep piling up. You don't have to worry about them being taken away from you. Your credits never expire.
I did not know that, actually.
I'm really glad you said that.
We want to charge you a fair price and not take books away from you that you've paid for, essentially. So yeah, and you own your audiobooks. They are DRM free, which is getting a little bit technical, but essentially we just make it easier for you to own and keep and buy and have and listen to your audiobooks. And another thing that recently has become a bit of an issue in the author community is that Audible is encouraging what they call exchanges, which basically means getting to the end of a book and returning it. Now, we obviously will always help out with customer service and things like that. If you don't like a book, if you get into it and it's not for you, please contact us and we'll do our best to help you out.
Now, how does somebody go about doing that with Libro? How do they contact you if they get into it and want to exchange it or return it?
Hello@libro.fm.
Great.
You'll get a real person who will help you and talk you through it. But with Audible, what happens is people return their books, having listened to them, having maybe enjoyed them,
yep,
and the author doesn't get paid. It's pretty outrageous that they're doing that, honestly. So it's great that we're not doing that. I'm very proud of the fact that we don't, while at the same time providing customer service, because customer service is something that we definitely pride ourselves on.
I want to just highlight, in case anyone missed, what you said about if you return an audiobook to Audible. And there are valid reasons to return an audiobook. I've done it.
Absolutely.
Like, if I start it and I'm like very early into it and I'm like, oh, I cannot listen to this. I want to read it in print instead, or this narrator's driving me crazy, whatever. But if you listen to the entire book and return it to Audible, just know that the author is actually not getting paid. So that, I didn't know that until you said it. So I just wanted to make sure that we super highlighted that.
Yes.
And can you give audiobook memberships as gifts since we've got the holidays coming up?
Yes, great question. Love that you asked that. Definitely, you can give them as gifts. We absolutely 100% encourage that. You can give gifts for 1 month, which is essentially just one credit, one audiobook, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months. The 12-month membership is particularly great because we are giving $90 to the bookstore of the choice of the person who gets the audiobook membership. So that's a big chunk of money to go to a bookstore.
And it's the choice of the person who receives the gifts chooses the bookstore, not the giver. Okay.
Yes, because they make the account, and it's when you make the account that you choose a bookstore.
Gotcha.
And obviously the great thing about gift memberships is you're giving them a gift that gives more than once, and you're also giving them their own choice because they get to pick the audiobooks. So it's kind of a great way of giving someone something they'll like and they'll pick themselves. It's kind of fun to pick your own gift.
Right. And you could also, if you wanted to personalize it but not tie that person to a specific audiobook, you could give the subscription along with a personalized recommendation from you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be amazing. That's an amazing gift. I would love to receive that personally. Yeah, the other great thing from my own personal bias point of view, I'm sure by now everybody's picked up that I'm from the UK, although I live in the US. And gift giving makes it possible for international listeners as well to have memberships. At the moment, we don't really have traditional memberships for international customers, but gift memberships don't have restrictions like that. So they're available worldwide.
Gotcha. One last topic on the gift giving. Is there a function in Libro to do like a wish list? Like if you're already a member of Libro, to like create a wish list that somebody could then go in and purchase those audiobooks for you as a gift?
Yeah, there's absolutely a wish list function.
Okay, great. All right. And I know that over the past couple months, more than a couple now, time has flown, Libro FM has taken a lot of specific steps to promote diversity and equity and inclusion amidst the Black Lives Matter movement. Can you talk about some of those steps that Libro has taken?
Yeah, definitely. One area that we're focusing on is influencer outreach. We work a lot with influencers to help spread the word about Libro FM and the books that we sell and that we focus on. And we're focusing influencer outreach for the rest of this year exclusively on BIPOC creators. And we're also ensuring in future that 50% of our influencers will be BIPOC.
That's great.
And then we're also making sure that we really highlight books that are by communities like the Black community, Latinx authors, Indigenous authors. So we have playlists, what we call playlists, which are just kind of lists of books, essentially, lists of audiobooks. We have them collected by identity so people can choose. We've used things like Latinx Heritage Month to highlight books by Latin authors, for example. And we're going to continue doing that. What we do with influencers is we send them what we call ALCs, which are audiobook listening copies, similar to, you know, the ARCs that you would get. And yes, so that they can, there's sometimes pre-publication, sometimes just after publication, but they're just a way for people to try out audiobooks and talk about audiobooks.
I use those and I love those because if you are an influencer, it's a lot harder to get an advanced copy of an audiobook pre-publication than it is a print book. So I particularly love those ALCs.
So obviously those ALCs are offered to us by publishers and we are sort of nudging publishers to make sure they give us a good proportion of BIPOC authored books. So we're not always getting the same titles by the same white authors pushed and promoted all the time. So we want to effect change positively in the industry as a whole. And that includes diversity and inclusion, as well as all the other things we've talked about with profit sharing with indie bookstores.
And I love y'all's playlist. I use them particularly for some anti-racist listening. And I'll link to some of those in the show notes, y'all. All right, let's move on to talk about some audiobook trends and recommendations and listening tips. So for someone who is hesitant about listening to audiobooks or who has maybe tried them and just not been able to get into them, finds themselves zoning out like me, I used to find myself in that position. Can you share some tips for how to get started with audiobooks?
Yeah, definitely. I initially had a little bit of trouble too. I'm a big podcast listener. And the thing with podcasts is that you can zone in and out and it doesn't really matter that much.
Yes.
And I like that about podcasts because when I'm doing work, sometimes, you know, you tune out as you do something a little bit more thinky and then you tune back in and it's fine. But for audiobooks, I really want to focus. And so I think that one of the ways that can work, and certainly that has worked for me, is doing something with your hands at the same time that you're not having to think about, or at least not having to think about in the same way as you would think about listening to a book. So what I mean by that is something like crafts, or I am trying to get into modern calligraphy. And I have been doing that while listening to audiobooks. And it's a pretty soothing thing to do, actually, which in these fraught days, we all need some soothing habits.
Yes, we do.
so that's been good. Other people might do it, making jigsaw puzzles while they listen. I actually wrote a post on the LibreFM website of 18 things you can do while you listen to audiobooks. I mean, cooking and baking, I put those on there. So yeah, I recommend if there's a hobby you've been wanting to take up or a hobby you're already doing that involves your hands. The other thing about involving your hands, of course, is that one of the major distractions in all of our lives are phones. And if you're using your hands for something else, you can't be also trying to tweet or text.
Yes, that's such a good point.
And then another tip is listening to an audiobook that has very short chapters or is broken up into chunks in some way. So epistolary novel, for example. One of my first audiobooks, if not my very first one, was Tiny Beautiful Things. It's a wonderful book.
Yes.
We were just nerding out before the call about how much we both love that book. And it's a collection essentially of advice columns she wrote a few years ago. And so they're relatively short chunks. And in fact, I used to listen. I had this very specific commute I used to do that was pretty short. And it was basically the length of one of those chapters/letters. And so I never had to focus for very long. And I also had it in my head, you know, on Tuesday mornings, I walk to this place and I listen to Cheryl Strayed and it was part of my routine. So I guess that too is making it part of your routine.
Those are good ones. And I had not thought about the second one you said. That's a good one for me as well, the short chunks.
Yeah.
Since I am one of those people that zoned out, and y'all, just so you know, my audiobook history, I tried listening to audiobooks when I was training for a half marathon. You would think running long distances would be a good time to listen, and I found myself zoning out constantly. So if you go to the first natural place where, oh, I'm going to listen to an audiobook while running, and it doesn't work for you, don't think it'll never work for you. I just found that working out was not the best time for me to listen to audiobooks.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people listen while they're walking as well. In fact, I was just saying that I did that for a while. But these days, I don't know, maybe it's just a sign of how much is going on in all of our brains all the time. But walking doesn't really work for me. I find that I zone out. But yeah, doing other activities does. So it also might be a case of something that worked for you a year ago might not work for you now. So try something different.
Right. Finding your niche is so important, I think. And I found mine with kind of lighter nonfiction, memoirs, essay collections. That's where I live. I never listen to fiction on audio. It does not work for me. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I would add two tips to that that just occurred to me kind of in the moment. Number one, you had mentioned that you love podcasts, and I do as well. There are some audiobooks that are put together like podcasts. And the one that's coming to mind, I know it's problematic, but it is put together like a podcast, is Malcolm Gladwell's Talking to Strangers. Problematic content, y'all, but the structure of it is put together like a podcast. And then the other tip is maybe look for an audiobook that is, and I'm thinking like a celebrity memoir, but narrated by a voice that's familiar to you, that it feels like that person talking to you. Like, I loved Jessica Simpson's Open Book on audio. I loved Trevor Noah's Born a Crime on audio. That would be my other second tip.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing with memoirs by actors and comedians and people like that is they're very used to talking into microphones, into cameras. So they're very used to talking and making it sound conversational, even though you're not there.
All right. So let's get to some specific audiobook recommendations. And these are not, y'all, we're not on the book recommendation segment of the show yet. That's coming. We've got lots of bonus recs today. So can you share some audiobooks that you would classify as kind of good starter audiobooks, great for somebody who's just dipping their toe into the genre? I know we've already talked about Tiny Beautiful Things. Are there any others you would recommend?
Yeah. So like you, I mostly listen to nonfiction and memoir on audiobook. One that I really enjoyed was Talking as Fast as I Can by Lauren Graham.
Yes.
She's funny and, you know, she talks about Gilmore Girls. And so it's a bit of nostalgia and lightheartedness, which is nice to have in our ears rather than the stressful news that we have at the moment a lot. It's also kind of a short audiobook. I think from memory, it's only about 4 or 5 hours. So that's probably actually another tip if you're not sure about audiobooks is to, don't start with something that's 18 hours long. Start with something short.
Absolutely.
And see if you can build up from there. Although, that said, on the other side of the spectrum is that audiobooks, one thing audiobooks are great for is getting through the longer books. So I occasionally have half read and half listened to books if I need to get through them for book club, for example. And audiobooks are great for fitting books into more places in your life. So if you're trying to get through a long book, they're great for that. And one great book to read, if you haven't read already, to read on audio is Michelle Obama's Becoming, which is long, but she reads it herself and it's a wonderful book. So yes, I praised short books, but I'm also going to praise long books. They're sort of useful and good on audio in different ways.
I loved Becoming as well. And actually, I don't like listening to long books, but I felt like that one moved fairly quickly and I did not feel like I got bogged down in it at all.
Yeah.
And she did a great job narrating it, too.
Yeah, who knew she'd be great at yet another thing.
I know, right? And so what kinds of trends have you seen this year amongst listeners? And did you see any significant changes in listening habits? Or I guess, did Libro see any significant changes in listening habits once COVID-19 hit?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting this because you might expect it to go down because people are commuting less, but we've seen a significant increase. So from last September to this September, 170% increase, which is big. And our membership is up 266% from a year
ago. Wow.
Which is also pretty huge.
That's great.
We've also got 44% more bookstores that we're supporting. So that's like, those are pretty big numbers in terms of growth.
Yes.
The other big sort of trend, and I hate the word trend because I hope this isn't a trend, but the other...
Right. Hope it's not a fad. Let's hope it continues.
Not fad, exactly. Yeah. Not a fad. But is that our bestseller list has been very heavily dominated by books by BIPOC authors and by books about anti-racism. So that's been great to be able to help people sort of work through those issues and sort of really grapple with some of the things that white people have been really good at hiding from. So How to Be Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi is our number one bestseller of the year so far, for example.
I was just going to ask you what your number one was.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. And do you think the increase in number one indie bookstore participation and also membership is driven a little bit by people wanting to make sure indie bookstores make it through COVID?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, people have been very good at stepping up when they've been asked to step up with supporting their indie bookstores. And it's certainly a message that we have really pushed because we are passionate about indie bookstores. It's not just something we say to, you know, differentiate ourselves from Amazon or whatever. We really do believe in bookstores and we want them to survive and we want them to thrive. So yeah, we encourage that. We have a website called shoplocalbookstores.com, which is basically just a landing page encouraging people to support their local bookstores. And yeah, part, you know, one of the bullet points is listen to audiobooks through us, but that's only one of them. We really want to help people figure out how best to support their local bookstore. So yeah, I think that we've encouraged that, and lots of great bookstore champions out there on Twitter have also encouraged that. People are often very good about, you know, they'll do bullet point lists on Twitter of these are the things you can do, and they often include, and you can listen to audiobooks through Libre.fm, which is great.
And as we're moving into the holiday season, let's talk about some audiobooks that you think would make great gifts.
Yeah. So we actually have a playlist of the most gifted audiobooks on our website. So it's a great place to browse.
I'll link to that, y'all, in the show notes.
Brilliant. That's great. So yeah, some of the ideas from the list is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, which was a big fiction book this year. The Dutch House by Ann Patchett, which is narrated by Tom Hanks. So that's the big draw with that one, because that book came out last year, I think.
It did, yes.
But Tom Hanks in your ears is always good. Circe by Madeline Miller is another great one to listen to. And then there's some sort of celebrity memoir that's coming out too. So there's The Best of Me by David Sedaris, which is a compilation of some of his, you know, greatest hits.
And he is so good on audio.
Yes, he's wonderful on audio. And Megan Rapinoe, the soccer player, has a book coming out called One Life, which is a sort of memoir, but also talks a lot about activism. And then another one, which I think would make an amazing gift, is Songteller by Dolly Parton. And that's a memoir, and it's particularly good on audio because it has excerpts from her songs, obviously that's not something you would ever get, you know, in print form. So audio offers a little extra sometimes that print can't offer. So we love books like that, which really showcase the medium.
I'm planning to listen to that too. I love that Dolly Parton is a lot different beneath the surface than you would judge her to be from the surface.
Yeah, she's so interesting. Do you listen to, there's a podcast about her at the moment, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, really useful that I can't remember the title. So you probably
that's okay.
That.
Y'all, I'll Google that and put it in the show notes. I don't know the title either. And I know that Jessica Simpson's audiobook, which was literally the most surprising thing I've ever listened to. I thought it would be terrible. And it was so good. It also has music at the very end. Like, I think original music of hers.
Wow.
And tell us about some of the big audiobooks that we have to look forward to that are coming out this winter.
Yeah, so probably the biggest book of the year, yes. I'm going to say, you know what I'm going to say, is A Promised Land by Barack Obama, which comes out on November 17th.
So big, in fact, that it has already been nominated for a Goodreads Choice Award, despite the fact that it has not yet been published.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt there's going to be any review copies of that book.
No.
I've already put it on my best of the year list, even though I haven't read it, which is maybe slightly cheating, but I just feel pretty confident about that. So that's November 17th.
He is narrating that, correct?
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And if you haven't read his other two books, it's definitely worth listening to those as well. Yeah, they're wonderful books. He's such a good writer. I mean, every president writes their memoirs when they're done. And sometimes they can be a bit dry, but he's just such a great writer. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And that, as we were saying earlier about how long books, it can be helpful to read long books partly on audio, yes, or fully on audio. That definitely is a long book. So you might want to think about it from that perspective too. It's also excellent value for your credit because you're basically getting two books worth.
And audiobooks are expensive, y'all.
Yes. So yeah, that's one of the big advantages of membership is that you end up paying much less per audiobook than you would if you just
yes. I don't think I've ever bought a single audiobook because they are really expensive.
They are. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I have either. Maybe some kids' books are available as audiobooks. And obviously, if they're really short picture books, they might only be a few dollars. So then it's worth it. But yeah, otherwise not. So yeah, other books, Ready Player 2 by Ernest Cline. That comes out the week after. So when you finish with the 700-page book, you can start on that one on the
24th. You can have a recovery book.
Yes, on the 24th of November. And then The Last Days of John Lennon by James Patterson.
Is that the James Patterson?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, I know. I was a little skeptical too, and I looked into it, and it sounds great. He's partnering with a couple of other people, Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge. So I don't know how much, you know, James Patterson often does a thing where he's sort of in charge of the book.
Right. Other people are actually writing the book.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't totally know what his role is versus the other two people. Yeah, I found that super interesting too. But that sounds like it's going to be a really interesting book about The Last Days of John Lennon. Title pretty much says it all. And The Secret Lives of Church Ladies is another one that sounds really wonderful. And actually, it's already out in print, but the audio comes out on December 29th.
Yeah, I didn't realize this wasn't out on audio because when I looked it up when you sent it to me, because this one's on my TBR already. I'll probably just read it in print because it is fiction. It is short stories. I don't know if it will work for me on audio.
Yeah. Yeah. Short stories, I find them tricky anyway. So I don't know.
Me too. But I like the sound of this one.
It sounds incredible and so interesting. And yeah, I think I definitely want to read it. It's just a question of which format to read it in.
And y'all, if you're not familiar with this book, it's a National Book Award finalist. And it is short stories about Black women pursuing their own desires and getting, and I'm quoting from the synopsis here, a reprieve quote from being good. I love books about women sort of bucking the system, if you will. So
yes,
I'm definitely, and it's short, it's under 200 pages. So I'm planning to read that before the end of the year for sure.
Yeah.
And I saw on your list another very interesting sounding book by an ex-NFL player.
Yes, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man by Emmanuel Acho, who's a former linebacker. Had to look that up because, as you can again hear, not my area of expertise.
I follow football, but not the NFL so much. I follow more college football. But yeah, he has a YouTube show and he's now a sports analyst. He's now like commentator on TV.
Yeah, so that's out on November 10th. So you can sneak in a read of that before the Obama book comes out.
Yes, that's on my list as well. And I was unaware of this book before you sent me your notes. So I'm glad that you put this one on my radar too.
Great.
Anything else?
Yeah, there's a couple of others. I didn't want to overwhelm you and your listeners, but there's a couple of others. Yeah, Mediocre by Ijeoma Oluo, which is out on December 1st. And Superhost by Kate Russo, which is out on February 9th.
And that's a debut novel.
Yes.
That is a good list. You have definitely significantly expanded my audiobook TBR.
Yeah, great. I mean, there's definitely a few credits you can use with those, right?
For sure. All right. Let's get to your book recommendations. And obviously today we will be talking audiobook recommendations. And as Claire mentioned earlier, most of her listening is nonfiction and memoir specifically. So a lot of these recommendations will fall into that category. Not all of them, but a lot of them. As usual, Claire will share two old audiobooks she loves, two new audiobooks she loves, one audiobook she did not love, and one upcoming release she's excited about. So Claire, tell us about the first old audiobook you love.
Yeah, I love talking about this book every opportunity that I get. And you always talk about new books usually whenever you're, you know, on a podcast or whatever. So this is very exciting that I get to plug this one. It's called Come to the Edge and it's by Christina Haig. Christina Haig grew up in the orbit of John Kennedy Jr. and she dated him for a few years. And so it's about her friendship and relationship with him. She's also an actress, so it's also about the craft of acting and her love of the theater. And it's also a love letter to New York City. And it's just a beautifully, beautifully written book. The cover doesn't really do it justice because the cover is like this shirtless picture of John Kennedy Jr. And it looks like it's going to be a tell-all kind of racy memoir thing. But it's not at all what the cover looks like. It's just a really beautifully written, sort of tender and elegant book about this love story and about this kind of extraordinary man, and also just about the sadness of his loss. Yeah, so that's Come to the Edge by Christina Haig, and she narrates it herself. She does obviously a wonderful job. Well, not necessarily obviously, but she does a wonderful job.
That acting probably helped, acting background.
Yes, the acting definitely helps. And just when it's your own story and it's something that is so, it's something that is so part of who she is, really, that she is able to inflect the emotion into it that kind of helps the story land just right. I mean, I've read it in print and in audio. So when I listened to it, it was the second time I was reading it, and I just loved it just as much, if not more, on audio. So that was great.
So I have a funny story for you about this book. I have listened to this on audio. I enjoyed it. I love reading about the Kennedys. I just think they are endlessly fascinating. And when you told me you were going to share this book, I looked back at my old reading tracker spreadsheet to see what I thought of it and who I got it from. In my recommendation sources box, it says Claire Hanscom from the Currently Reading podcast.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
So maybe I do get to talk about it on podcast.
Yeah. So no, it had been so long that like I didn't remember where I'd heard it. I was like, I think I've listened to this. So yeah, funny.
Yeah, I did a tour of a few podcasts a couple of years ago when my book was coming out. And Currently Reading was pretty new then, I think. It's now, I listen to it religiously. I love it.
I do.
So yeah, it was really fun to get to go on that.
All right. That was Come to the Edge by Christina Haig, came out in 2010. And tell us about the second old book you love.
So it's also a memoir by an actress. It's called Dear Mr. You by Mary Louise Parker. And it's a memoir which she's written in the form of letters to important men in her life, but not just the men you might think, like her dad and her first boyfriend and things like that. It's also people like the cab driver who picked her up when she was 7 months pregnant, one of her teachers at acting school, all kinds of men. It's brilliantly written. It's quirky, which Mary Louise Parker strikes me as somebody who's quite quirky. So it sort of went with what I thought of her. It's quirky and innovative, and it's moving, really well written, and she reads it brilliantly. I love her voice. I love the kind of mischief in her voice. So yeah, that's a great, great audiobook. And we were talking earlier about how reading listening to audiobooks that are written in sort of short chunks or letter form is a great way to get into audiobooks. So that would be a great one to start with.
I actually attempted to listen to this one, and I ended up DNFing it because I just couldn't, like, I had trouble placing who she was talking to in each letter. And I think it would have worked better for me in print than me personally. But
yeah, I can see that.
I just kept getting tripped up with like, wait, who is she talking to right now? And just getting myself oriented.
I read it in print first.
Oh, that's probably helpful. Yeah.
I mean, I loved it so much that, you know, I wanted to spend more time with her. So yeah, I don't know. She doesn't name the men, which I actually think is a really classy move of hers. But
right.
I also is mildly frustrating because sometimes you want to know who she's talking about. No, I recommend giving it a go in print because it is just a great book.
And y'all, that is such a good way that now that you've mentioned this to reread books where you're not cutting into your quote reading time. If you want to reread a book, try listening to the audio of something you've already read. And actually that might work for fiction for me since I've already read the book.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about zoning in and zoning out. Well, if you've already read it, you don't run the risk of missing something vital because you already, you know, the really important things you will have remembered. So yeah, that's definitely another great tip for getting into audiobooks.
All right. That was Dear Mr. You by Mary Louise Parker, and that came out in 2015. Tell us about the first new audiobook you love.
Earlier in the year, I listened to Pelosi by Molly Ball. It's a biography of Nancy Pelosi, and it was really interesting. And again, fairly long and fairly dense. And sometimes with quite dense life stories, it's nice to have them read to me. It's just a nicer way of absorbing the information than sort of reading them can feel a bit like you're reading a textbook for school, I think. But having it read to you then feels more like I'm doing this for pleasure and entertainment. And she's such an interesting woman with such an interesting story. And yeah, it's just a great, great book. And the narration is really good. It's sort of, you know, the right pace. I'm not one of those people who plays with the pace of audiobooks. Some people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that, but that's.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, that's another way to maybe something to experiment with if audiobooks aren't working for you, is speeding them up or slowing them down. Yeah, we sometimes have people email us and ask for all kinds of quirky speeds, like 1.15. Like, wow, that is precise. I guess actually once I did speed a book up, but that was because I was late finishing it for book club. And I was like, okay, how fast can I listen to this and still understand what is happening?
I speed them up too, but not, I mean, I speed up to like one, max 1.5, generally 1.25. Katie from Currently Reading goes 2x or higher. That,
wow.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
She says that she can, you can train your ears to do that. I'm just not there.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to train my ears. I'm okay with it.
I feel like I wouldn't be able to like process anything at that speed.
But she reads a ton of books. And I guess if you want to get through a ton of books, that's one way to do it. But yes, but having said all of that, I guess because I never think about changing the pace of a narrator, I really appreciate when they're well-paced. And yeah, Pelosi is really well-paced by the narrator. So yeah, that's part of why I enjoyed it.
Did Pelosi collaborate with this biography? Was it sort of approved by her or not?
You know, I don't actually know.
I know in the blurb it said based on exclusive interviews with her, but I don't know if that equates to like a collaboration or not.
Interesting. Yeah, because authors can be sneaky like that sometimes. I don't totally know.
Or a marketing company at publishers.
Yes. No, it definitely felt, but then I don't know. Again, authors can be sneaky like this too, but it felt pretty authoritative and sort of not trying to push, you know, any agenda or be gossipy about it. It felt pretty reliable. But again, that could just be the author / the narrator making me feel that way. It felt pretty official, but I don't really know what the answer is to that. Sorry.
That's okay. All right. That was Pelosi by Molly Ball, and that came out in May. Tell us about the second new audiobook you love.
Yeah. So I actually haven't finished this one. I'm listening to it at the moment, but it's A Very Punchable Face by Colin Jost. And I really loving it. He is, surprise, surprise, very funny. But also, it's kind of not cheaply funny. And it's not trying to be a laugh every other sentence, because that can get exhausting too. It's just a really well-written story about his life. I really enjoy listening to sections about growing up in Staten Island. And the sections about him being at Harvard were interesting as well as the more obvious stuff about, you know, writing for SNL, which is obviously really interesting and probably what most people who read or listen to the book are reading or listening to for, they're listening for the content about SNL. But the other stuff is really interesting too. And one chapter that's not funny, but is really moving and touching, is his mother worked for the fire department, I think, during 9/11. And that's about that, which is very touching and well-written. And I'm really enjoying listening to that. That's my current thing that I'm listening to as I practice my modern calligraphy. So
I like it. I like it. And the publisher in the blurb called him, this is like really, I don't know. I don't know what I think about this. Called him a slightly smarter Forrest Gump. What do you think about that?
Wow. I don't know.
I know, right? I was kind of like, that's how you're describing this guy? I mean, I don't watch Saturday Night Live, so I don't know how I myself would describe him, but that just seemed odd to me.
Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely a new way of describing someone. What I really liked about this book is it's a really funny title, A Very Punchable Face, but he actually talks in quite a lot of depth at the beginning about why he called it that and why his face is punchable. And he describes himself quite amusingly in that chapter. And that chapter is probably a better description than the Forrest Gump thing, which, yeah, that's strange.
Some of the things that come out of marketing, it's just things that make you go, hmm.
Yes.
All right. That's A Very Punchable Face by Colin Jost. And that came out in July. Tell me about the book you did not love. And this was not an audiobook, correct? This was just a regular book.
This is just a regular book, but it does exist as a...
Sure. I just assumed you did not listen to it since it's fiction.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I was like, how did she know that? It's true. I didn't. Yeah, this is such a hard question because I'm a writer too, and you want to be really careful with what you say about other people's books. But I feel comfortable talking about this one because it's specifically a book that I didn't love, but it's objectively a good book. So let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It was a big book in the UK, but I don't think it really made much of a splash in the US.
I didn't remember the title, but when I read the description, I remember hearing about a book about this topic.
The title of the book is The Color of B. Larkin's Murder by Sarah J. Harris. It's about a young boy. I think he's about 10 and he's autistic and he also has synesthesia. So he sees the world through color and he also is face blind. So he doesn't recognize people. The way he recognizes them is through hearing their voices, and their voices translate into his brain as color. And so different people are sort of, he sees them essentially as different colors, and he sees many, many things through the realm of color. So that it's really interesting from that perspective. He also, his mother has died not long before, and his mother was the only person who really understood him. And so he's grieving her. And he sort of is looking out of his window and observing the new neighbor, and the new neighbor goes missing. And it's all about him trying to figure out what happened to the new neighbor. And it's a very well-written book. And I'm going to use the word interesting again. It's very interesting. It's very unlike anything I've ever read. And I think the reason I didn't love it isn't actually so much to do with the book as it's to do with the marketing of the book. In the UK, it has a bright orange, really cheerful cover. In the US, it's got a darker cover. So maybe it would have been different if I'd read it with the US cover. But I felt like I was promised a different kind of book from what it actually was. I think I thought it was going to be, he thought something bad had happened, but actually it was all fine in the end and nothing bad had happened. And it was quite dark and quite sad. And that wasn't what I wanted when I picked it up, basically. The other thing was, because he sees everything through color, every page has descriptions of color, and it sort of becomes overwhelming, which I think is a deliberate decision by the author to make you feel like you're in his world where there's so much color and it's overwhelming. So it's well done on a craft level because it does give you that sort of really immersive feel. But for me, it just was too much. But again, it could have been me. It could have been when I was reading it. There's any number of reasons it didn't work for me, but none of them are to do with the objective, whether it's objectively well-written or not, if that makes sense.
Fair enough. And yeah, authors oftentimes have difficulty with this question on my show. Many of them either opt out or they sometimes do classics.
I didn't know we're allowed to opt out.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't tell you, because my listeners love this question. All right. That was The Color of B. Larkin's Murder by Sarah J. Harris. Came out in 2018. Tell us about the upcoming release you're excited about. And I think many, many people are probably going to be excited about this one.
Yes, I think I did a little scream when I saw that this was coming. It's called Clara and the Sun, and it's by Kazuo Ishiguro. I love all of his, no, I haven't read all of his books, I shouldn't say that, but I love The Remains of the Day, and I love Never Let Me Go, which are very different from each other. And I love, that's something I love about this author, that all of his books are so different from each other. They deal with different times in history, they deal with different themes. There's often an undercurrent of melancholy in his books, which that's something that I love in books and life, I think. Enneagram 4, if anyone out there is into the Enneagram. So yeah, he writes really beautifully and empathetically. And yeah, Clara and the Sun is about an AI, basically. Yeah, if you liked the movie Her, which was about somebody falling in love with his computer, essentially, this is kind of along the same lines, but it's Kazuo Ishiguro, so it'll be different from that as well. I'm just so curious and interested to hear how he's going to treat that whole theme. Any book by him is a great opportunity. It's also a great opportunity for my book club to yell at each other, because we always seem to yell when we read his book together.
Oh, that's funny.
We have very different opinions. Never Let Me Go was definitely the book that we have disagreed about the most. Yeah.
So y'all, I looked up this book and there is not much information available on it, on the plot. I mean, other than the fact that it's about an, artificial person and she's looking for somebody to choose her. I don't even know what that means. The publisher says that the story asks, what does it mean to love? A thrilling feat of world building, a novel of exquisite tenderness and impeccable restraint. That's really all we've got at this point. And I bet you there's not going to be any galleys. So
nope.
this is his first novel since winning the Nobel Prize for Literature. Yes. So
no pressure.
No pressure at all. And I did not love Never Let Me Go. But The Remains of the Day is on my TBR. A previous guest on the podcast, Liz Moore, who is the author of Long Bright River, she shared it as one of her old loves. And she said it was literally the perfect novel. So she teaches creative writing at a college, and she thinks it is the perfect novel. So I am going to give it a try.
It's pretty amazing, actually. Now, as we're talking about it, I'm thinking maybe I should reread by listening to it.
Because
yeah, absolutely loved that book.
All right. That was Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro. And that is coming on March 2nd. So that's a big, big release for 2021, y'all. And I like to close every episode with asking my guest what the last 5-star book they read was. And in your case, the last 5-star audiobook.
Yes. So I'm still listening to it, but I definitely am confident giving it 5 stars already. It's the A Very Punchable Face by Colin Jost that I mentioned earlier.
Awesome. You've made me want to read that. I don't even watch SNL, so I know that he's either dating Scarlett Johansson or married to her or something, but that's all I even know about this guy. But I'm kind of interested in reading it now.
Yeah, you should. It's fun.
Or listening to it, I should say.
He's a super smart guy as well. I mentioned that he went to Harvard, so that's probably no great surprise, but
yeah,
he has really interesting perspectives, even if I've used the word interesting again, which I was trying to avoid, but
it's fine. Claire, thank you so much. I have loved talking audiobooks, and also a huge thank you to Libro FM for donating almost 200 free audiobooks to my patrons, and then hopefully more during the month of November for any of y'all who sign up during that month. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, y'all, the November Superlatives episode for patrons will air at the end of the month, and it will include Claire's picks for categories like favorite audiobook narrated by the author and least favorite audiobook of 2020. If you'd like to get this bonus episode plus others, which many things I shared with you earlier in the episode, you can support the show for $5 a month on Patreon and also get a free audiobook this month. There's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio. The next episode will air in 2 weeks, which is November 25th, and Susie from Novel Visits will be joining me to do a year-end wrap-up episode. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at www.sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions. You can find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at Sarah's Shelves, on Instagram at Sarah's Bookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. And if you'd like to get exclusive bonus episodes of the podcast, you can support us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/sarahsbookshelves. And there's a link in the show notes and in my Instagram bio to my Patreon page. Thanks for listening.